Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
Lonzo Ball wearing jersey 2, and they go right side white in front of the high post. Hooch takes Gobert to the rim, and the pass left corner, Ball for 3. Bam! Welcome back to the NBA. Lonzo Ball with a 3 ball in the far corner.
Talk about someone who's been to hell and back. Lonzo Ball. Last night, getting the opportunity to get on the floor, got a nice hand from the United Center crowd, from his teammates, from opponents yesterday. It was nice. And when I left here yesterday, I was thinking about the show that we did, and I thought we did a really good show yesterday. And I don't ordinarily like think that in my mind. It's not that we haven't done it. It's just I usually walk out and go, man, I miss this spot.
You got some Caleb Williams in you.
A little bit.
Thinking about that.
A little bit. But I walked away and I was like, man.
I thought we did a good show too. Shane Tanney, you guys think we did all right yesterday? Do you remember? Or is it just gone out of your mind now?
I flush every show when we're done and just focus on the next one. Right, so I have no recollection
that's
of
actually
yesterday.
Really healthy.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Will tell you that, right? You got to flush it.
Yes, got to flush it sometimes. Be ready at 7-Eleven.
Yep. I have my peanut butter and orange juice at night like Pedro, and then I flush the show when I'm doing that.
Okay. Those are all very...
Just flush the peanut butter.
Maybe that's
and the
why he was such a bad manager, because let's, he eats peanut butter and orange juice at night.
Let's whiteboard that for the folks at home, the listeners. When Pedro Grifol was on Bourbon and a Buddy with Shane Reardon, but they talked about having a little snack in the middle of the night, a little scoop of peanut butter, then right back to bed, wash it down with some orange juice, you know?
OJ's a really interesting choice for... That combination doesn't work.
Yeah, I think you mean a really bad choice. I think that's what you meant to say.
I think that sounds kind of phony, like maybe some of Pedro's managerial stuff. Well, frankly,
he also couldn't figure out the name of buffalo chicken dip when we talked. Yeah. So, guys, kind of a moron.
I mean, the peanut butter thing makes sense. You have a little bit of protein.
Yeah, it is
night,
a good snack, Lawrence,
right?
Except it's ruined the experience for me now because now I think of Shane and Pedro Grifol every time I want a little scoop of peanut butter.
Yeah, they're just like, that's the worst thing to wash it down with.
It's a terrible choice. You're almost better off not washing it down
just
than
let
drinking
the,
orange juice.
Let the peanut butter linger in your mouth the rest of the night.
We should have known it then. I gave him like 45 seconds to try to figure out what buffalo chicken dip was called because we were talking about Super Bowl. He's like, we get that chicken dip that, you know, it's spicy and
it's got red sauce.
You know, it's got that buffalo sauce on it.
No, get there, Pedro. We should have known then. Couldn't figure out the name of buffalo chicken dip.
Yep. No way that guy's going to motivate a team. But anyway...
So last night, I'm driving on LSD. And
you and Doc Ellis.
I know, right? I'm throwing some no-hitters in perfect games. But I'm stopped at Ida B. Wells, right by the fountain.
It's lovely.
Full moon last night.
Oh, it was exquisite last night and early this morning.
Reflecting off. There was also a comet today.
Really?
Yeah, a comet was visible in the southeastern sky today. But the moon's reflecting off of the lake. It was just quiet. And I was sitting there going, man, tonight's going to be kind of cool. Like, what an incredibly cool thing that we're getting ready to witness with Lonzo Ball taking the court again after 1,006 days of rehab, of just surgeries and rehab.
And then it was kind of beautiful.
Yes.
It was lovely to just... Sort of bask in, because he gets out there and it's a partial standing O and whatever, but like he's moving without the ball. Look a little slow. Look some preseason tempo. You're like saying, I don't really see the man necessarily sprinting or whatever, but who cares? I'm just watching him move, watching his basketball IQ, which has always been so high
through the roof.
It's and the fact that he made the first three. You know, it was just beautiful. And then you saw some help defense. You saw like some like really smart, thoughtful basketball plays. The one seemingly full out effort moment of jumping towards the bench to save that ball out of bounds in the corner. And you're like, just even that he's got the comfort to do that. He's got like the courage to like go ahead and like throw your body out there, and who knows how you might come down. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that was awesome, and he deserved that moment. And it seemed like the teammates and people all around the league actually were celebrating it and just kind of living in the joy of him getting to do that and have that time.
The goal was 4 4-minute segments for Lonzo. I think it ended up being 3 5-minute segments for him. 15 minutes for him played. He made 4 out of 6, 2 out of 4 three-pointers, had a rebound, had an assist, had a steal, had a block, finished the game with 10 points, and did all of the stuff that you ordinarily would expect Lonzo Ball to do, including like playing with a really high basketball IQ on help defense. You saw a hockey assist for him in the game last night, too, because of the way that the ball's moving around the floor. But even beyond the statistical, even beyond the, man, can he help this Bulls team go over 27.5 wins? I just found myself, our guy Jack Silverstein had tweeted out, I think he was there, and he tweeted out the video of him coming off the bench and getting ready to enter the game. And he took like a deep breath, and you just go, man, what a journey. The reason I thought about you is because you are the captain of good vibes, right? Like, that's kind of your thing on the air.
It was Jay Zawoski who, when doing his impression of me as Spat Meagle, said, good vibes, babe. And then it is, it's become kind of thing. But
you believe in that. Like, it's not something that is an unwelcomed.
No, because I believe in not just the power of positivity and how it makes you perform better. So I believe it is objectively a smarter way to live your life, because it helps you perform better. I also believe in doing the work to get there. Like, whatever, you got to figure it out as a person. We all got our own journeys to figure out. For me, it's meditation. It's some morning quiet. You got to do whatever it takes to get yourself there, because it is, in practicality, a better way to live.
I fight with myself a lot when it comes to this in sports. I have a bit of an edge because of my time as a reporter. So there is some knowing how the sausage is made.
Sure.
That's hard for me to let go in almost every venue that I, like, if I go like cover a game, there's a shell around me that is hard to disengage from. It's one of the reasons why I'm so crazy about like Alabama football. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that with Bama.
That's beautiful.
I can just be a crazy person when it comes to Alabama football.
I don't know if you're aware, but Joe Buck is a huge St. Louis Blues fan, because there's no allegiance. There's no nothing. He's never talked to the executives. It just lets him be a pure fan.
And you know what's funny? I remember running into Buck after the Cubs won the National League in 16. And I was walking back up after the celebration. He was walking down.
And then I met Buck.
And he was wearing like St. Louis Blues gear.
Was he?
Yeah,
oh, there you go.
He had like a Blues beanie and maybe a Blues jacket on, and he was walking out.
That's his Alabama for you.
And then of course, as I made it back to the media section, I heard, "Hey, Holmesy, get out here, man. We're partying." And it was all of the Cubs people. That party that they had on that deck that night, unbelievable.
Wow.
Unbelievable. But I have that. Like, so it's, and I think it's one of the things that's going to make this show work, is that I am allowed to drift into things that are, I have as a fan of sports. Like the comfort of the romanticism of baseball, for example. You and I are on the same page when it comes to a lot of that stuff.
And here's the thing, dude. Like, believe me, I can empathize with the existential question that you're talking about of, like, how to maintain the positivity when you know too much. And a lot of that is just natural aging, too.
Sure.
As we get older and we see bad people win, we see karma, which maybe you've believed in karma your whole life. And you're like, how am I supposed to do that? As you lose people you love, like all those things, you're like, man, it's a tough year for an optimist.
It's rough out here in these streets.
Yes.
But something happened to me last night.
You got touched by the sports angel?
It was great.
That's the way Terry used to describe it, remember?
It was great. Like, it was really great. And it's hard to not get choked up or tear up when you see Lonzo Ball, when you see him go through what he's gone through. Mm-hmm. And we all know, like, because we've all been paying attention, and we've all been like, man, the Bulls should probably, like, cut ties. Like, this is never going to happen again.
Practically, I was hoping that they would and eat the money as they tried to get competitive at different times over the last couple years.
And then you watch it and you go, man, this triumph over injury, triumph over adversity, being out there with cadaver tissue.
Yeah, there's a texter, Lawrence, who says, can you explain what was wrong? I just thought it was a knee issue. No, just to briefly explain, guy had a meniscus transplant, a bone allograft where a replacement bone came from another person, a dead person, we think, and then also a cartilage transplant. So he pretty much has an entire other person's leg inside his own leg.
And the idea that he could just walk again was up for debate. And he's playing NBA basketball. And yes, it's preseason. And no, I don't know if this means that he's going to be a viable part of what the Bulls are trying to build going forward. He's a free agent at the end of the year. All I know is that we usually mythologize all of the movies that will often take liberties with our sports stories. To raise it to that level of you feeling something like you're being manipulated in a way. This was real.
Yeah.
This actually happened.
It's always better when it is real. And some of those movies, it's so funny because some of them like end with the championship. That's kind of the beauty of Rudy, isn't it? That Rudy ends with him just getting in the game. Just actually just playing.
But it starts with him being a dirty cheater. The movie sucks. Rudy's an ass.
I mean, anyone who was on that team will tell you that there were a lot of things wrong with that
guy.
Movie.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. But the story itself, the fact that the kid gets to play.
Right. The guy who plays Little Hobbit, he's a nice guy, I'm sure. But like Rudy, the guy in real life.
Yeah. Well, I almost went with Moneyball, where like at the end they made the playoffs and got swept.
While not really mentioning Jermaine Dye or
any
Mulder
of the pitchers.
Or Hudson or Zito.
Yeah. They didn't have pitchers.
No. They only had a GM. That's all they had.
That's all they had.
It was a baseball
bump. Shane watches Rudy through the eyes of his brother, who's hating to the very end. It's like, all right, whatever, big deal. Who cares about this? His dad's sobbing next to him. He's like, who cares about this?
That guy's movie, Shane would love.
Hey,
Shane
man.
Would love that guy gets a movie.
Yeah.
Look, there's space for that. Like, that's the how I Met Your Mother Cobra Kai thing.
That show sucks too, How I Met Your Mother.
But
whiny bitches.
But it helped birth Cobra Kai because there were enough people that were like, you know what? In retrospect, Johnny Lawrence was aggrieved. I agree with that whole idea.
Okay.
Daniel LaRusso is a bad guy.
So just the idea in that show is what birthed same writers?
Yeah, no, but they had Macchio and William Zabka on the show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the bit was is that Barney wanted to meet the Karate Kid, and they bring in Ralph Macchio, and he's like, he ain't the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
And then Zabka's in the back in a clown outfit, and he's like, finally someone gets it.
Oh, wow.
And I think he started writing Cobra Kai like the next day. So there are enough people, and I'm in that group.
God, I love that stuff.
It was an illegal crane kick to the face. He should have been disqualified. So
get him a body bag! Yeah!
And he couldn't leave well enough alone, too.
Boy, there's...
Shout out to my guy Gary Goldman. He does 10 minutes on this, and he's 100% right.
I haven't seen that. Is that one of the new ones?
That's one of Gary's like classic bits.
That's a really funny stand-up comic who's also incredibly open about depression and the battle of being human.
Yeah.
Gary Goldman, Gulman. I totally agree.
His stuff on Cobra Kai is amazing. He's also just funny, and I've had a couple of interactions with him. He is genuinely a nice person that is trying to navigate life. Shane, see if Gary Goldman will come on the show soon.
Okay.
I can text him, but you should handle that.
Yeah, textures have a lot of thoughts on a lot of these things. Moneyball barely mentioned the MVP, Miguel Tejada.
Right.
The Athletics won because of Scott Hatterberg's walks. That's from Dan Bernstein. And there's several people saying, thank you, Shane. How I Met Your Mother is trash.
That guy doesn't stop whining about how lonely he is. Dude, become less insufferable and you'll find a girlfriend.
All right. Well, see, I was looking for non-traditional sports stories.
We were having some joy.
We were having some joy. And all this is what the problem is.
But I mean,
cynicism comes at you from everywhere.
Or like Friday Night Lights. Dallas Carter beat the snot out of them, and that wasn't the championship game that they lost in. So, you know, but the idea is that you build up to all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel something.
And Lonzo just getting to play is victory enough in itself.
And that's also part of the problem. It's a bigger issue, Speaks. And I know that's not necessarily where we wanted to go with this, but because of the time that we spend talking about sports overall, we end up in these places where whether it's ring culture or if it's just how close are you to a championship, winning is the only thing that matters.
Oh, dude.
All of that stuff. Sometimes a story like this can get lost. Now, luckily, I just saw Lonzo Ball on NBA Live with Malika. And that to me it should be a joyous thing. It doesn't matter if he turns back into the player that he was. The fact that he's here at all is a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. And it, I'm sure that matters to him and for the largeness of the story. That's why it's interesting. When you brought up Brandon Roy yesterday, who actually did battle and come back only to not have his career rekindle, maybe we should have given that some more time as a comp or more thought process as a comp. Because sometimes just battling to get there can be the story enough. Cool Runnings. Texter says Cool Runnings, where they just wanted to make it into the Olympics. The Jamaican bobsled team.
Yes.
And they did make it into the Olympics.
They did.
Yeah, they got there.
Or was Eddie the Eagle? Was that
Eddie the Eagle, the ski jumper, who was absolutely awful. But how about let's modernize it. The Australian breakdancer.
No, that
that's fraud. That's that fraud.
It is. It's
she
legit.
Made it.
No, her husband or boyfriend was the committee.
Oh.
And put her on the list.
Oh.
And there are a lot of people in the Australian breakdancing community.
Oh,
that which is large, by the way.
I mean, it is.
It is.
I mean, it's a world genre now, and there were lots of people like, how did that even
that.
Happen? Yeah,
see,
it was a terrible fraud.
Is what happens when you stop paying attention to a story.
Don't worry, that's going to be a movie, just not the movie that you expect.
How many sports, by the way, do you have to suck at as a kid before your mom says, "Hey, why don't we try breakdancing?"
Well,
maybe that's for you.
Well, the people who are great at breakdancing are usually great at sports.
That is 100% true. From my own limited high school experience,
yeah,
all of the best athletes were the breakdancers of choice. Absolutely true. I don't know where Kendall Hendrick is right now, but he was the best athlete in my high school, and he was an unbelievable breakdancer.
Yeah, usually if you've got that level of core strength and coordination.
Yeah. You're popping
probably
lock
a good athlete.
Maybe I'm just letting my bias sink in here because I think it's stupid.
Breakdancing?
I think it's dumb.
I
don't know. I just think it's stupid.
Oh, that you're a bad person.
I'm
not going to say that that's what makes you a bad person. I'm just going to say
I'll go ahead and say it. I'll say that.
That dance is supposed to be expressive, and that is part of a culture that was born to allow people to express themselves in a very different way. That's
okay. All right.
Oh, see?
All right.
Turned into a teachable moment.
That's he won't right. learn it.
It's a learning lesson, folks.
It's a learning lesson.
Lawrence said it perfectly.
Oh, God. The learning lesson. Man.
It's an elemental principle to hip hop. Like, for real, for real.
In terms of the...
Of what hip hop is. Mm-hmm. Breakdancing is an elemental principle.
But hip hop came first.
I like hip hop.
Breakdancing came later.
It depends on who you talk to, because I mean the break beats.
Right. I get you. Well, when I was hanging out with Grandmaster Melly Mel, I asked him.
You did?
No, I didn't actually.
Tanny, didn't he have a diss song like last year Was it against Eminem?
I did have one.
Not you. I think Grandmaster Melly Mel last year did a diss song.
Did he really?
About Eminem.
Oh, welcome back.
For his 60th birthday. Oh, like,
I got to tell you, that's one of the things that flew underneath my radar there. I don't know.
I might be wrong, but I think I'm right. I think
it doesn't surprise me. Whenever you, I'm not going to say anything else.
And Tanny, it was terrible.
I think
it was so bad.
I got to say,
didn't even respond.
As much as I've enjoyed this content the last few minutes, it seems like more of a fit for Herman and Wendell. Am I right? Because that show,
I feel like Wendell and Herman is the way that show should be named.
Whoa,
very different show.
It's a very different show.
Look who's feeling himself.
What is your confirmation name? Mine's Philip.
I'm not going to say.
He's not going to tell it. He's not going to put
it out
there.
I got to keep the secret.
Yeah. Lawrence's confirmation name and my Hebrew name is the very secret other show. Yeah.
Okay, Matt Matza Spiegel.
that's the show.
It's mitzvah. It's actually mitzvah.
That's the show where we keep telling you to keep your third eye open. That show, my confirmation name and his Hebrew name.
And my name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're talking some real heavy stuff
on
that.
Got some levels going. Lawrence, I have a bunch of stickers in my pocket I need to ask you about.
Okay.
So let's do that.
For the mini fridge?
Yes. Yes. Because for those of you, we need to update people on what has happened. And I need to ask you what we're going to use these stickers for. I need to tell you about some of the stickers that Tanny, who's been appointed in charge of sticker procurement, has ordered. And he's also making some as well. This is going to be an absolute delight.
I thought we were doing stickers at 6:05.
No, we're not going to leave it for someone else. We're going to have a little bit of fun, Shane. It's all right. It's bye week, and we haven't turned the page. So whatever's going to keep them calm is exactly what I want to do on this show. So we're going to do that. We're going to take a look at some stickers. We'll get a little sticker shock. Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on The Score.
You've got to make some moves. You can't keep 11 offensive linemen on the 53-man roster.
Just tell us the mini fridge is safe, right? Doug Kramer?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, I would think so. You know, that would be my guess.
That doesn't make me feel secure about Doug Kramer's existence on the Bears roster, but I'm hopeful, Lawrence Holmes. Oh, man.
You better be, because you've made quite the investment in stickers.
I have.
And in a bit.
The listeners invented the bit. A listener, when we were discussing the mini fridge, a couple of weeks ago, we had the mini fridge in here. In the I formation, a listener suggested the mini fridge should earn magnets based on his performance. And that was so ingenious that I went out.
Would magnets have been easier, Shane?
Yeah, much, Lawrence. Thanks for asking, by the way. Absolutely would have been easier, Speaks.
I didn't think it was actually magnetic because it was a mini fridge. I thought it was just plastic, so I thought I had to buy stickers.
You have absolutely torpedoed the resale value of that mini fridge. I hope you know that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Some college kid is not going to want that.
That's all right.
Or some college kid is really going to want it.
That's what I'm saying. You know who's really going to want it? Doug Kramer's going to want it when we're done with this. That's right. So I just tweeted out a picture from the Spiegs and Holmes account there, Lawrence, of the mini fridge so far. So could you tell people what the mini fridge has in terms of its stickers?
So we've got on the mini fridge a British flag.
Yes, for a country that he has conquered.
It has a Bears logo on it.
Yes, it is the...
Which is my favorite one of their logos. That logo for me is number one. The script B is my second favorite Bears logo.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
Ditka Bear?
Ditka Bear. Ditka Bear. And then the co-college C is my least favorite.
So we put it out there, and it also has a team logo for every team that the Bears have beaten in a game that he has appeared in.
There were also pre-bit stickers that are on there, too.
Cubs Radio is on there.
Correct.
And 670 The Score. It was our mini fridge. It's our actual mini fridge. So now it has a Rams sticker, a Panthers sticker, and a Jaguars sticker. And we have to decide what else we can do. Oh, I see now that Chris Tannehill and Shane Reardon have tweeted out some stickers to come for the mini fridge.
We were just, you know, throwing the ball around in the office today, you know, talking about this bit, which we're really trying to make a thing. And listeners had great suggestions yesterday saying that a pancake sticker should be applied.
I actually like that.
I think, yeah, that was actually a good idea, far better than any of ours.
Because there have been pancake blocks already. He's already earned the pancake sticker.
Exactly. So Shane is tweeting out a photo of some of the possible stickers, which we will be adding, because I remembered you can just make stickers online. We don't have to, like, sort through the stack of NFL logos right. from 10 years ago.
That's what Spiegs is doing literally sure.
right now. I don't have to, like, go on Amazon and order, like, six different stickers to get delivered with six different shipping dates.
And one of the logos, like you picked up the logo and it was like it burned yeah. your hand. It was so racist. Yeah. You're like, oh, we can't use that.
I did, but Tony Romo wants to just say that over and over
all
again
the time
during the broadcast. He refuses not to. But yeah, so the pancake is coming. A sticker of Illinois, because he went to Illinois.
Yeah, but I thought it would be more Illini than just the state. Like, I was looking for, like, the block I.
From the Fighting Illini.
Oh, yeah. It's on here. It's not the block I, but it's that classic script logo just with Illinois in italics that, I don't know, I think they have it on the helmet now. That's what they got on there.
Okay, so it is the university.
I couldn't find a nice Oski Wow Wow sticker, so I'm still efforting that.
And then we say Oski.
Yeah.
Can you explain this proud to be from Hinsdale, Illinois sticker?
Yeah. And I'm proud to be from Hinsdale.
So I was using a website that will do custom stickers for you, where they have these vendors that will sell you a sticker. You just search what you want. And I searched Hinsdale Central High School, right?
Yes.
And nothing came up.
Yeah, because I don't even think,
I know.
I don't think they even do helmet stickers at Hinsdale Central.
No.
Ooh, okay.
I don't think they do that.
Odd choice. Maybe they'll reconsider after this segment.
Perhaps.
So the closest thing that came up was a sticker with the state of Illinois on there with a star where Hinsdale is located. It says, proud to be from Hinsdale, Illinois.
I like it very much. And then we have William the Refrigerator Perry.
That's a big one. That's if he actually scores.
Okay, so he doesn't have these stickers yet. So that's the touchdown one. I think that's great. If Doug himself either runs for a touchdown or catches a touchdown pass, then the mini fridge has been granted to have a presence with the actual fridge.
What are we doing with the Adam Amin?
Well, Adam gave him the nickname, obviously.
He's the inventor. Adam coined the term.
So he's already collected that one.
He's already collected Adam Amin, right?
Well, so what if
everyone tries?
He's Adam the Creator.
But here's the thing.
It's his new DJ name, by the way. It ought to be.
If he calls another Bears game, does Doug get another sticker?
He should have two Adam heads, yeah.
Mini fridge, though, so we only have a certain amount of room on there.
Yeah, but Tanny, he's not going to do that much.
What a doubter and hater.
Look,
I'll have a sticker for you on there before you know it, for all the haters, cowards, and losers.
Lawrence, to your point, I think if a different NFL broadcaster refers to him as the mini fridge during a game, during an actual game broadcast, we have to get a sticker of that man's name.
So
Spiro Dinas, step on down.
So listen, you know how I'm the mayor of Worrytown.
Yes. Andrew Catalan, you listening? Yeah.
Andrew Catalan, we're coming for you.
He's definitely not prepping for games, so probably.
Your Andrew Catalan shade will not be accepted, sir. Jim Nance sticker. I'm sure Jim Nance already has a stack of stickers in his home office that he can
sticker symbolizes a lot to him.
So, as the
mayor of Worrytown,
yeah. Considering that right now the Bears probably are going to have to make a roster move when it comes to long snapper.
That's why we're doing the bit now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I better get expedited shipping on these stickers because
okay.
I've only made the order for one sticker here with the one that I really, really want to get on there.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite photos ever. You haven't seen it yet this season because Olin tweets it out during Packer week, but it's the sticker of Olin giving the middle finger to the Packers sideline.
I love that.
That one I have ordered. I got 10 of them coming. Hopefully they approve it because there's some licensing
issues. You got
10
there. Of them?
Yeah,
all 10 for the mini fridge or
no,
just
no,
for
no.
us?
No, I will disperse them among the staff. You know, so
it's just that the Bears offensive line is getting a little healthier.
Yeah.
That guys are going to start coming back soon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the mini fridge is becoming more and more unstoppable.
I just That's I just right. don't want to walk in here, and well, then all of a sudden we get that email from the Bears, and it's like, well, there goes the bit.
What if Doug Kramer is just legitimately better than Kari Blossomgame?
Which is
very likely.
So I don't
want to talk football. I'm sorry.
I think that you are Barry is doing a lot of lifting right there in that moment. I don't think that he's much better than.
Okay.
It's a good point though in terms of utility. Like what
yes.
else?
But
what,
yes.
What other role? Kari Blossomgame plays some special teams and is faster than Doug Kramer. But if any time you're going to use a fullback, you're going to use Kramer instead of Blossomgame, you could probably justify the roster.
Doug Kramer's also the seventh quarterback. We forget that.
You never know.
Okay.
What sticker does he get if he comes on and does another radio interview where he sounds incredibly inconvenienced?
Well,
the Brian Billick sticker.
The Theo Epstein. Really, I'm doing this out of obligation. No, you weren't obligated, brother. You just don't want to be here.
But Lawrence, I have some other stickers that came with the pack of NFL stickers that I got.
Okay.
Like the NFL logo. We should go ahead and put that on. He's in the NFL.
Yeah, he's been an NFL player for a couple years
He
now.
Deserves the NFL logo. The NFL draft logo, he does not deserve. He was not drafted. Correct?
No, don't put that on there.
All right, okay. How about the NFL playoffs?
Hopefully.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a aspirational sticker. You got to keep that.
So we got to keep. So we got the NFL that he gets, the NFL playoff sticker that a man can dream of, and then this one, the Pro Bowl sticker.
That's never.
That's
never.
It's not happening.
I shouldn't say never. It's unlikely.
Oh man,
that he'll earn a Pro Bowl spot.
What if DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson gets a Pro Bowl spot?
It's not their fridge.
That's true, but he's helping. And then, for some reason, I have a Super Bowl 56 sticker.
I mean, sure.
I mean,
maybe he went.
But that's not what your Super Bowl we're in, correct?
59? No, not even close.
Yeah, so this is how old the sticker set is.
Don't
that
we
I
have
ordered.
A draft sticker?
We do.
No, but he wasn't drafted.
Yes, he was.
Doug?
Sixth round.
Oh, was he?
Oh, wait, you're right.
2022.
Oh,
you're
my
right.
God.
I thought he was a priority free agent.
Son, you're right. I'm 90% sure he was a draft.
No, you're 100%
Is
right.
there any way to know? Is there any way to look that up?
Tanny? Shep, do we have that?
There's no way to know.
Was he drafted? Okay, so my bad.
I think 2022.
Put it on.
He gets the NFL draft sticker and the NFL sticker because in the league he doesn't get the playoffs. And I'm going to hold on to this old Super Bowl sticker in case he goes back and makes that game. All right, I'm glad we did this.
And are you, though?
I am, as a matter of fact.
But are other people?
Yes, they are.
In very much Bears fashion, though, they did draft him and then cut him.
Well, that's the other
thing. And then brought him back.
But he's still drafted, though.
Yeah, but they still drafted.
Does he deserve something for his time in Arizona? Like, did he visit the Grand Canyon when
Nobody
he was
does.
Out there? Did he go and do something? They have great popcorn at the Grand Canyon. All right. Well, yes, I consider me glad that we did this.
What do a sticker of, like, Larry Fitzgerald's butt for that time?
Because he was in Arizona?
Yeah. Why not?
We could. You have one of those lying around?
I do.
The mini fridge.
Yeah!
What's your favorite Larry Fitzgerald stat? I know we're up against the break here, and I'm usually the one freaking out about that.
More tackles than drops.
Drop passes. Yeah.
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 Is that,
insane.
He's got more tackles on interceptions
than
drops in his career.
Yes.
Yes.
That's outrageous.
Insane.
Mine is he's in two different fishing halls of fame, saltwater, freshwater.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
We could ask Wani about Larry Fitzgerald if we want later on.
I think we should.
Tell him I say hello.
And ask. Oh, yeah. Tony Wise is going to be here. Dude, we get to hang out with Tony Wise this afternoon.
This sounds like a great show that we're putting together.
I agree.
We're going to get semi-serious in the next segment because there was a media story that happened this week that is worth us talking about, and it's local. We'll explain next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I'm just saying, Lawrence, you were saying some stuff last week, if my memory is correct.
That's why Danny left.
Afternoons on The Score.
Shams texted me after I announced my retirement, and you know what I told him is what I would say today, that I hope he has as fulfilling and as rewarding of a career as I've had.
If you didn't know, Adrian Wojnarowski has moved on from being the primary basketball newsbreaker at ESPN. He has taken over at his alma mater, St. Bonaventure, as the GM of their basketball program.
It's an amazing new realm that the former media star can now go to. It always used to be media relations position, and it probably still will be for a lot of people, but going to work for the NIL collective, essentially the GM of your alma mater, is quite a thing. So congrats to Woj for getting out. And I don't know if you've noticed, Lawrence, but Shams Charania's tweets now in his new role as the new Woj over there, they look exactly like Woj's tweets.
I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
I think that's it's formulaic, and it's something that I'm sure that the people over at Digital at ESPN were like, this has worked. Let's do this.
And yeah.
It makes you stop because you'll see a photo of a player. You're like, wait, what happened to that player? Boom, they got you.
Or you'll see a giant photo and a tweet from Shams. You're like, oh, I better look at this. And then it's a G League player signing a 10-day contract, and you've stopped me dead in my tracks, and I'm annoyed.
I know Shams a little bit. We've had the chance to work together a couple of times. I really like him. Like, he is – you talk about an American success story. That dude – was breaking news while he was a student at Loyola. Would literally sometimes leave class to go tweet out NBA news. And it's just heart hustle and muscle. Like, he just like loved it. He got into it. He kept getting into it. He was Woj's protege at one point. And now he replaces Woj in what I think of all the jobs that are in what we do, the silly stuff that we sometimes do. I think that one is one of the hardest. The news breaker job. Now look, right now, it's great for Shams. He doesn't have a Shams chasing him. Woj had a Shams chasing him.
Yes, certainly.
Shams doesn't
last,
have one of those.
And certainly over the last several years.
So, sure. So that's good. I'm sure he got paid a whole bunch of money, because Woj was making millions of dollars a year. And I was thinking about it, not that Shams would ever ask me for advice, nor does he need it. He is doing way better than I am in this industry. But I was thinking about it from the standpoint of, if you're him, because I think Shams is barely 30. He might not even be 30. If you're him, do you just hump this for 10 years? And by the end of it, you're 40. You've made millions of dollars. You've made all these connections around the NBA. And then you go,
see ya.
I'm out.
Well, Adrian Wojnarowski just gave an interview to friends of his, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, over at the Eye on College Basketball podcast. And he talked about what life is actually like when you have that job and how scoops are still an opportunity for him. Listen to Woj talk about the sacrifices that you have to make either in Shams' future or in Woj's past.
I've broken news in side of the road, cemeteries. You know how many times my kids were parked in a cemetery while I'm breaking news, just kids looking, and you kind of look in the rearview mirror and they're just looking at you like, what are you doing, man? You know, so a lot of cars pulled over, every corner of the world. I don't know if there's any Disneyland where the worst, you go to Disneyland with your kids. And I remember reporting out the whole Gilbert Arenas situation in Washington over a few days at Disneyland. And I remember the phones, it was a BlackBerry. It didn't charge very long. And I just remember sitting there plugged in by the water fountain while the kids are on rides. Not the best, not dad of the year on that one.
Yeah, no, that's speaking to the reality of it. I'm curious if an agent, front office exec, GM has half joking, half serious, given you scoops in the past 2 to 3 weeks, just for the hell of it, just to be like, hey, I know you're not going to use this, but now I'm going to tell you. And if that happened, were you remotely tempted just once to be like, why not? I'll just put it out there.
Yes, and not even remotely tempted. There was one I said, fellas, it's over. It's over.
You did.
Congratulations. I think my response was, congratulations, but I don't give a shit.
Good for Woj, man. He got out. So people still offering him scoops. Why are you bothering to offer him scoops? Do you not have Shams' number? Or you want to try and go somewhere else?
I mean, the relationships are usually really strong. And sure. I do think that when the news broke about this, there were a bunch of people that were like, he's just taking a little break. Yeah, let's give him some news here. Let's see what he does with it. And he seems like he's happy.
Yeah. And good for him, but like, whew, you know, it makes you feel a little better about not having that job. If you're me and your kid is 12 and you've had lots of moments where you're, you know, paying more attention to the ball game on the television than him and he feels it. I mean, that's a real thing for parents in this industry. And I hope that Woj has a good and vibrant relationship with the kids. It's like I've talked about how Ruben is not a huge sports fan in terms of watching games at all. And I think psychologically, he's always looked at it as the competition on some level. Like, oh, there's my dad over there watching that, and I'm not, and I'm over here. I could be projecting that. I should have some conversations with him about it, but he's not eager to watch them, certainly on his own.
From my experience as a beat reporter, I think a lot of beat reporters have kind of this choose your adventure moment of what type of reporter that you're going to be. Are you going to be the person that is breaking the news, or is your job better in telling what is happening around you? I think everyone struggles with that. I always found NFL free agency to be the most stressful time of my life. I hated it because you're competing. Like I was on the beat with Moon Mullen and Brad Biggs and Jeff Dickerson, you know, like Brad Palmer was, you know what I mean? Like people that are really established in that level of competition can really mess with you. But if you're at that level and you're getting the news nationally, it can be so lucrative. Look at what Schefter is doing now. Look at what Shams was doing. And now this platform that he's on, I wish him a lot of luck. He is a wonderful dude. And I hope that he makes all the monies and then writes his own ticket and walks away when he wants. If he wants. He might not want to. He might like that pressure. Wasn't for me.
Understood.
It's a lot. It's a lot. You want to get into like some hardcore bear stuff?
It's time, man. It's been way too much non-bear stuff. I can't turn the page, but what we can do is deal with the realities of the moment, which are that even though the trade deadline is far away, fairly far away, it is quite an active time in the NFL.
Let's talk about where the Bears fit in that next on The Score.